And I'll be reading from verses 37 to 40. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. This is the word of the Lord.
Insiders and outsiders. It's a funny concept, isn't it? I think, like, if we're all in this church, we're in the church, right? So we're kind of like the insiders, right? What is that? Yeah, I like that. So we're the insiders. And I guess it kind of means that people outside of the church are like the outsiders, right? Yeah, kind of, well, because they're outside and we're inside. So it's kind of like we're in a bit of a, you know, a bubble in here, and we're the insiders and they're the outsiders, obviously. But there's other things as well that we can be inside of and we can be outside of, right? Inside, outside. Who goes to school here? Amazing. So when you're at school, if you kind of belong to your school, don't you? There's a lot of people who didn't put their hands up, and it makes me worry. You should be at school. But it means that, you know, you kind of belong to your school. Who goes to work? Put your hand up if you go to work. Excellent. So you're kind of like an insider there. So you're in that bubble, and then people who don't go to your job kind of are outsiders. Who has in-jokes? Do we know what in-jokes are? Kind of those jokes where only some people get it because they're in your crew. Who's got in-jokes? Put your hand up. Excellent. Great. So that makes you kind of feel like you're part of something. It makes you feel like you're in something, like you're an insider. And then we have outsiders. I mean, I think all of us have felt probably like an outsider. Put your hand up if you've ever felt like an outsider before. Cool. Amazing. So maybe you're not from here. I'll tell you when I feel like an outsider. Whenever people talk about sports. I don't like sports. I'm not into football. Sue talks about tennis in the offices incessantly. Or when people come round, you know, to my flat even, and they want to watch the football, I don't care about the football. And so I'm just sitting there and I just don't care. And so that's when I feel like an outsider, really, is when people are talking about the football. Or once I came in and Niku was watching the cricket on the big screen, and I had no idea what it even was. I mean, what is cricket? I don't even understand it. And so sometimes we can go through things and we can be in situations where we don't feel like we belong. I forgive you for watching the cricket. Where is he? Can't see him. Anyway. So there's all of these times when we don't feel like we belong. And I know for me, I wasn't born in this country. I wasn't born here. I was born in another country that's quite far away called Lebanon. And funnily enough, I think Lebanon is right next door to Syria, where our refugee family is coming from. And so we speak the same language, actually. And so I was born there, and I was born there during towards the end of a civil war. And so my earliest years, there was a war going on where I was growing up. Could you imagine growing up in a place where there's war? No, it's a bit scary, right? And so my dad was involved in that war. My dad fought for one of the militias in the Lebanese civil war. And so it got dangerous for my family. And so we looked to leave. We had to go because my dad was in danger. And so we applied for asylum, and we didn't get it here. We didn't get asylum in the UK. The only country that gave us asylum was Venezuela. And so we had our visas to go to Venezuela, and so we booked our flight, And it just so happened that the flight was landing in London first. And so we left. We left the airport and never looked back. But we did. It's naughty. What we did was absolutely naughty. It was not, you know, but do you know what the law is? The first port you can seek asylum. So that's what we did. And so we left, and actually we had uncles here already. So I can't say we came in necessarily in the most legal of ways. And actually, I have no regrets at all. And I hope you don't either. I really hope you don't feel like you've got on a bad deal. And so we came in and actually said we were illegal for about 45 minutes until we claimed asylum and they let us through. And then, so we grew up and we didn't, I grew up here, and my first few years we didn't really know many people. And actually, a little bit unlike our Syrian family who we're welcoming, our family didn't have quite that well a welcome. And so I grew up in my first 3 years in the UK. I was in and out of different bed and breakfasts because that's where they sent us. And so my earliest years, I grew up in bed and breakfasts and kind of sofa surfing. We were homeless for 3 years, I think, before we finally settled. Now, my first day at school, I don't remember it, but what I do know is I couldn't speak a word of English, nothing. I could speak a bit of French and I could speak Arabic, and I didn't know any English, and so I'm pretty sure I felt like an outsider. But the word that I did know, that I'd picked up again and again and again, was Home Office. And so my nursery teacher literally called my mum over and said, "Your son keeps saying Home Office." Because I didn't know anything else, and so I thought I was engaging with the nice English people, so I was going around going, Home Office, Home Office, Home Office. So I felt a little bit like Paddington up there. I didn't really know what was going on, and I was just trying to have a good time. But there's so many moments growing up where I definitely felt like an outsider. I definitely didn't feel like I was exactly where I should have been. I mean, thankfully, there were other refugees and ethnic minorities and stuff in the school that I went to, but they put us together. Actually, it was a bit of this was back in the day before diversity was such a thing, and so they kind of put us together. And there was this girl who was from the Congo, actually, who came to the UK at one point, and she couldn't speak English, so they said, "George, Will you teach this girl?" And I remember going, "Well, I don't know what she talks, you know," and it was all a bit confusing, and I don't know why they gave her to me, but they kind of thought, "Well, you know, she's dark, you're kind of dark, let's put you together. You can be outsiders." It was bizarre. But so a lot of my life has been defined by the idea of being an outsider. And so I'm really, really flipping excited and privileged to be able to give this of all talks. Because I know what it feels like to be an outsider. And I really, really care for and I love the outsider. So for anyone in this room who's ever, ever, ever in your entire life felt like an outsider for whatever reason, maybe you don't think in the same way as other people, maybe you don't look the same as other people, maybe you're from somewhere else, maybe you have learning differences, maybe you have, I don't care what it is, if you've ever felt like an outsider, you are welcome and loved and precious, and God thinks so highly of you. And he thinks so highly of you enough that he's written a whole book about the outsiders. God has given us an entire book about people who are thought to be outsiders that have been brought in. And God says, "You are my people." You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a Christian and not love the outsider. Because our God came to this earth as an outsider. And so every time we look at anybody who looks different, who acts different, who is different, we can look at them and go, "This is the incoming of God." We can look at them and go, what is God going to teach me through this person today? Because God is present in the people who are different. I'm really passionate about that. And so we even begin with Abraham. Can anyone tell me something about Abraham? Not that Abraham. Can anyone tell me something about Abraham in the Bible? Yes. He was old. He was old. In this church, that wouldn't make him very different. Sorry. What else? What else can we say about Abraham? Don't take it so personally, Diane. What else can we say about Abraham? Yes. He did. He came from Ur to Canaan. Very good. He was an outsider in the land where he went. God called him out from the land of his father. God said, I don't want you to stay here. Come and move to this other country. And so Abraham was I wouldn't even say he was a refugee. He was an economic migrant, really. Imagine, so even worse in the news. He wasn't even a refugee, he was a migrant. Oh, gosh. And he moved, and God said, move to Canaan. And do you know what he does? He goes to Canaan, and he blesses it. And then God promises that he will then be a blessing to all the nations. So God takes a migrant, God takes an outsider, and he puts him in another country. And then not only does he say to him, you're welcome here, God also says, through you, these people, all of the nation, all of the world are going to be blessed. So not only do we accept and tolerate the outsider, but we are blessed by them. We are blessed by them. Can you think of maybe a group of people that in your head might be an outsider? Can you think of maybe people who don't act or think like you or look like you? God wants to bless you through them. God wants to bless you through them. He wants to use them. They are a blessing. Oh, yeah, what do you want to say?
Oh, because everyone's an outsider.
Exactly. Everyone is. Well done. Good boy. Everyone is an outsider. Everyone is an outsider. And then after Abraham, we're going through everything. We've got Joseph. Who can tell me something about Joseph in the Bible? Yeah, go on. He did have 12 brothers. Did he have 12? Yes, he did have 12 brothers. What else? Yes. He was the favorite child, yeah? You know, I feel like that about my brother sometimes. Yeah?
Young.
He was young, yeah, he was young. He was young, yeah? Do you know something about Joseph? Do you know something about Joseph? He did have a rainbow coat. He had a very nice coat. And he also got taken away and sold into slavery in Egypt. He got taken from his home country and he was sent away, sold away by his brothers, and he found himself in Egypt. He was the ultimate outsider. And you know what I love? And I love that the Bible has this, it's the same story that it goes through again and again and again. Because he goes to Egypt as the outsider and he saves it. He saves it. He doesn't just go there and take their jobs. He goes there and blesses them. He goes there and blesses that whole entire nation. God uses Joseph to save that country. Oh, it's wonderful. God is in Joseph. And Joseph is in Egypt. And God uses him powerfully. God is in the outsider. Gosh, and then a few years later, we get Moses. So the whole of the people of Israel have now been taken into slavery. They are now the ultimate outsiders. They're not the good people in Egyptian society. They're the slaves. You know, they're the others. They're the ones that you kind of look at in the street and try and ignore. But then God sets them free. God liberates them. God is in them. God is with them. And God says, you don't have a nation. You don't have a country. You don't have power. I will be your God. I will be your God. God says to the outsider, I will be your God and I will be with you. I will lead you. So put your hand up again if you've ever felt like an outsider. Amazing. God is your God. He says to you, I am your God. I am with you. I have adopted you. You are not outside of me. You are not outside of me. You are in me. You are mine and I am yours. It's very special. And then we move on, and we've got Daniel. Here's another thing in the story of the Bible. Another way that an outsider takes a situation and makes it amazing. We've got Daniel who is an exile. He's been forced from his home country, and he's been stuck really far away in another country, in another society. And God uses him powerfully to bless Babylon. Imagine, Babylon was the enemy. Babylon wasn't like the good guys, but you know, Babylon was the enemy, but God uses Daniel, the outsider, to bless them. It's amazing, again and again and again. Are we open to being blessed by the outsider? Are we open to seeing God at work in the outsider? Are we open to welcoming them, not just so that we can change them, not just so that we can make them look and act like us, but are we open to God being in them and changing us? Are we open to God being in them and having an effect on our lives? There have been moments where I've been around in British society, and I've still felt like an outsider. There have been moments growing up and throughout my life where things I haven't always felt very welcome. But you know, even the accent that I've got, I'm not from a middle class family. I might talk like a middle class person, but I've only got this accent because I learnt it from my teachers, because they're the only people who spoke English. But it's often really funny because sometimes I think if I didn't have my accent and if I spoke in my parents' accent, gosh, what would my life be like? You know, because we do have a society. We do have a society that does not easily welcome the outsider. Or we put them in their own neighborhoods. Or we put them in their own places where they're far away and not with us. Richmond is the second least diverse borough in London. It is the second least diverse borough in London. And do you know what? It's missing out. It is missing out. The food here is very bland. It is. It's quite boring. And it's expensive. You pay a premium for good foreign food, honestly, because it's bougie and hipster. If you go down the road to other places, the good foreign food is much cheaper. But honestly, it's missing out. I really believe that. And actually, you know, if we look around our church, really, the people who are slightly different, who look slightly different, you know, you're kind of exceptions. We're kind of exceptions. There's a lot of white people in this church. Hello. And that's fine, and that's great. Hello. One of them waved at me. But are we going to take on the challenge to be more welcoming? Are we going to take on the challenge that's really going to affect the way that we do church here? That's really it might mean that we have to change some things. It might mean that we might have to change the way that we see people who are other. But that is a challenge that I want us all to take to heart and go. I'm not only going to welcome the outsider, I'm going to allow God to use them to bless me. I'm not just talking about ethnicity. I'm talking about any way that someone is an outsider. I guess when I first started this, thinking about this talk, it really began with me going, how can we be really welcoming to the outsider? But then halfway through, God really spoke to me and said, that's not enough. That's not enough. Really what you should be asking is, how can the outsider bless you? How can the outsider show you something of God you would otherwise miss? And if we look at God throughout Scripture, as we've explored already, he is situated, he's found in the outsider. Which means outsiders have a very, very good perspective of what God is like. So we must learn from them. We must learn from their experience. They are a blessing. And then we have Jesus, right? Who can tell me something about Jesus? Yeah, go on. He was a refugee. Good job. Good job. He was. He was. He was a refugee. What else? His mother was a virgin. Yes, good. Yes, correct. What else? Did you have something? No? Okay. Do you know? Yeah, go on. Go on. Go on. Go on. I'm sweating now, all this running around. He is the Son of God. You're a little theologian. Yes. Also, though, Jesus was not in the in crowd. Jesus was not an insider. Jesus wasn't from Jerusalem. He didn't grow up in Caesarea, one of the big cities. It's like he didn't grow up in the Manchester or the London of Israel at the time. He didn't. Jesus's dad was a woodworker. Jesus grew up in Nazareth. Nazareth is like, how can I describe Nazareth? Keith's not here. I was going to say it's like Norfolk. Nazareth, he grew up in Nazareth. Nazareth was like nothingy. Like Nazareth was like, people would kind of say, oh, what good could come from Nazareth? Nazareth is Nazareth. He wasn't part of the in crowd. He wasn't one of the Pharisees or the Sadducees, which means he wasn't clever in that kind of setting. He wasn't educated in that way, right? He wasn't a Roman. He wasn't powerful, you know, like the Romans were. He was an outsider, and yet he comes in to the world, and he's the ultimate outsider. Do you know why? Because he's not even from this world. He's the ultimate migrant because he has migrated from outside of time and space. He's migrated from outside of you know, the world. He's come in. He is God. He's taken on flesh. He's come into the world, and he loved it so much that he took upon himself. He absorbed within himself all the bad stuff. And shows it for what it is. He is our Savior, and he is the ultimate outsider. And in him, he takes in every person and says, you're no longer an outsider. There is no such thing as an outsider, because Christ is all and is in all. In the kingdom of God, in his family, in his body, there is no outsider, because we are a body. We are a body. The toe and the finger are not separate. They aren't inside and outside. We are in him together, united. And then we have this beautiful parable that Jesus tells, that Michelle read out to us. The parable of the sheep and the goats. What does that parable tell us we must do? Who can tell me? Yeah, go on. Yeah, we do. We have to be for the outsider. We've got to be. Jesus commands it. This is so important. This is vital. We have to be. It's not an option. It's not an option. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be a Christian. I'm being really serious here. You cannot be a Christian and not look out for the outsider. It's not an option. The Church of Christ isn't British society at prayer. It's not. It can't be. The Church of Christ isn't a club for Westerners. The Church of Christ is God's universal kingdom being revealed. We must welcome the outsider. Let's close our eyes for a sec. Everybody in the room. And would you just allow the Holy Spirit right now to put a picture in your head, in your mind, of people that you might think are outsiders, of people who don't think and act like you, of people that maybe you've had judgmental thoughts about. Let the Holy Spirit just put those people in your mind. And while you're focusing on that person, be aware that Christ is in them. Be aware that Jesus is in them. And let that challenge you. Holy Spirit, would you just challenge us now to begin to see Christ, to begin to see the face of Jesus in people who we feel or who we've previously thought of as outsiders? Would you begin to change our minds, to shift our thoughts? And would you begin to break our hearts for what breaks yours? Would you give us the love that you have for the outsider in our hearts? Would you change the way that we do church? Would you change the way that we do community? And have us be people who are radically welcoming? Come, Holy Spirit. I just saw Jonah walking in and getting absolutely shocked. Wonderful.
Well, good morning. You've heard George this morning make reference to a Syrian family, so I thought it'd be a really good idea that we actually give you an update. I'm Sheena, and I work for Riverbank Trust a couple of days of my week. And Riverbank Trust loves and tends vulnerable families right across the borough. And Riverbank Trust is going to take under its wing a new family. And over the last couple of years, in partnership with this church, other churches, lots of individuals, a team of volunteers, the Home Office, I'll say again, the Home Office, and the Church of England have been working very hard on a community sponsorship project. And today we have a newsflash. Ta-da! Our family is arriving. They are coming on July the 16th. At Heathrow, and we're very, very excited across Riverbank. And we would really value your prayers. A little bit about the family. It's a mum and dad, and there's three little girls. They're going to be living in the borough of Richmond in a fully furnished house, totally by donation. I'm going to show you some amazing photographs in a moment. They're going to be supported by Riverbank and partner churches for 2 years. They're coming from Syria, but they've been in a camp, a refugee camp, for quite a long time. And they lived in one of the first towns that was hit by the war and the regimes. And this town is now rubble. We are so grateful to God that they're not going to be in that camp any longer. Here is the house. It's a small flat, and members of the volunteer team have been free cycling and eBaying and knocking on charity shop doors, and people have been donating, and they furnished this beautiful house, this beautiful flat for them. And we're so grateful to everybody who's contributed. Just the other day, somebody came up to me and said, I hear there's going to be little girls. Here's a bag of toys. Somebody else wants to buy dollies so that when we meet them at the airport, the children have a gift. And this is how you can help. Keep praying. We're really going to need your prayers. It's not been easy, and it's not going to be easy. We really need you to pray protection over our family. The Home Office have been very straight with us, and I'm so sorry, but I can't show you their photograph today for their protection. So pray for us. You can still give financially. You can see me afterwards, or Zhao. You can help. You can offer to volunteer and do something practical for them. There's going to be lots that they need doing. They don't speak a word of English. They're going to need to be supported by translators and warm, friendly faces. And you can use your gifts and talents alongside us. The main thing is, the next slide, thank you. Thank you, because we really couldn't have done it without you. We couldn't have done it without those who really felt their hearts stir the first time this project was ever mentioned, and those who've joined us on the journey along the way. We couldn't have done it without a faithful God, and we certainly couldn't have done it without you blessing us with help. Thank you.